Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hey you all, this episode was recorded live up at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this very week. I know, that is a very fast turnaround and well done us for being so bloody on it. Big shout out especially to my editor Emma this week, who has not only teched and recorded both of the live shows we've recorded at the Fringe, but been such a legend helping me collect cakes and food for the shows and getting these episodes turned around so that we can get them out during the Fringe to help plug the guest shows that we've got on, and also just so that you can feel like you're properly part of it as it's happening. It's really fun putting an episode out the same week that we actually recorded it. Also, well done you for listening, and even bigger well done's on you if you're someone who's being kind enough to spread the word about the podcast. Every person you show it to and every rate, review and subscribe you give it is worth a universe of thank yous from me. The Mighty Hoovering Tour starts in the autumn and it's likely to come near you, so go to livenation.co.uk and then once you're on that website, search for Hoovering to find out more. If you've got any spare cash and like supporting growing podcasts like this one, go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. I said forward slash, you knew what I meant, /thehooveringpod, where you'll see what helping me with a little bit of money can get you, including discounts to live shows like the tour dates and loads of extra totally exclusive content. So in this episode, we're recording live in front of the loveliest audience ever. Thank you so much if you came, by the way. It was recorded at the bloody brilliant Monkey Barrel Comedy Club, where I'm doing my show as well, my stand-up show. It's on Edinburgh's Blair Street. It's there all year round. It's the best. And my guests introduce themselves, so I won't tit about. Well, let's get right bloody into it.
Welcome to the Hoovering Podcast! Hey, welcome! Yeah, it's nice. We're live from the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm joined by some fucking badass guests. I'm going to get you to introduce yourselves, please. Lisa, would you start?
Hello, I'm Lisa Traeger, and I'm a comic from the States.
Very nice. Okay, yeah. I like the way you kept it quite vague.
Oh, yeah? Is that vague?
I reckon some people know that, like, more detail than the States, and they'd know where it was.
Okay, great. Well, I live in New York, but I'm moving to LA. All my stuff's in storage. I have no home until mid-November. So
That's exactly the kind of detail know all I the love, deeds. Lisa.
Also, your T-shirt is on scene.
Yeah,
for the
I
podcast.
Wore Miley eating an ice cream cone because she's my number one crush. I'm so excited she's divorced. There's new photos of her making out with a girl on a boat. Life is amazing. So,
yes, please. Miley I've never with an seen ice cream. That image. Thoroughly distracted.
I have a screenshot on my phone if you want to see it.
Okay, great.
Yep.
This makes for great podcasting. Two very turned on women looking at a phone. Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, my name is Colbert Seidnert. I'm from South Africa, comedian. It's my first year at the Fringe. And the meat is terrible in Scotland. That's my feedback so far. I thought I would start the podcast by a very controversial statement, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, okay. More on that later. Yeah. More on that later. Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony Singh. I'm from Leith. Taking part in the podcast because of what you do during the festival, getting with the community. I'm a chef. I cook on telly. I do supper clubs. I'll do anything if you pay me, basically. Media whore.
And today just virtually just been paid in cakes, actually. Yeah. I need to introduce the cakes. I've got all this from Missy's Vegan Cupcakes, which is, it's more than cupcakes, but also I have a sort of ex-cousin-in-law who lives in Edinburgh and went round for a cup of tea to meet her tiny baby and get a cuddle on that. Don't know why I'm giving you this much detail. The baby was perfect. Very good looking, very easy to make laugh. Well done, baby. The only other lovely thing that happened there was that she got some cakes for us to eat from this place. And we had the carrot cake and the brownies. And I couldn't... I mean, they're vegan. It's all vegan. Anyway, the other cool thing about her cake place is it's a TARDIS. It's like a police phone box. So it's like, I mean, I'm into that. Presumably today on my own. And that's absolutely fine. So help yourself, guys, to everything there is to eat here. Scott, you bought us some pizza as well, some pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, so this is the one. This is the one that I found. I've actually only had it very drunk.
Ah.
It's the first time I'm having this pizza sober, and it's still very good.
Yeah!
And these guys that work at this place, it's called Moratti or something. It's like down the road from Pleasance Courtyard. They open until like 5-6 in the morning.
It's on the corner between the Pleasance and Holyrood in the Cowgate.
Yes,
it's on that little four-way corner.
And there's a little hole in the floor where I think they live down there. So that is commitment to the pizza craft. They live where they work. I don't know if that's out of necessity or passion, but so I brought some. I brought some pizza. It's a little bit cold. I don't know if you can see. I've had two slices on the way.
Yeah, it's the two slices.
Except me so far. But this is an amazing pizza, and it's very affordable. Because I mean, the brand, our currency. Is 18 to the pound.
Okay, is that good or bad? It means nothing to me.
That's really shit.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Beer here is like triple the price than back home. So this is very
so
affordable.
So far, it doesn't sound like you're having a great time here, darling.
No, I'm having the best.
Me expensive beer and...
At least my ticket's price is also in pounds.
Oh,
if it was 10 rand a ticket, I'd be pretty fucked.
Pretty upset, fringe-wise.
Yeah.
So it's a bad meat because you're buying cheap meat.
I am, but I think just the
which is probably important to South Africa. That's what we're using.
It's Tesco. Yeah, the Tesco chicken tastes weird.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've learned my lesson now. Now it's only pepperoni from Moratti. Cheap pepperoni, but
for me here,
a lot of
everything
cheese.
Tastes better because in America everything's filled with chemicals and hormones. So I'm living a dream.
Oh, yeah. Glorious.
Yeah.
I don't think Missy's Vegan Cupcakes are going to have had a chemical anywhere near them in their life.
I think the chickens in Tesco could use more chemicals. Because they taste very chickeny. You know when chicken just tastes...
Do you know when meat tastes like meat?
No.
It's disgusting. Get yourself some Twizzlers, mate. That'll sort you out.
Do you know when something tastes really like the animal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when chicken, you
like it should.
You're like very aware of you eating a chicken. Like when I was in the Philippines, I found that as well. The pork really tastes like
pork.
I don't know if I'm getting my point across, but like pepperoni doesn't, I don't feel like I'm eating an animal.
No, it could be anything.
Yeah.
But do you not think, we're going to get into this quite quickly then. I was going to ask some very light questions, but do you not think if you're going to eat an animal, you should know that you're eating an animal and be conscious that it's really
I want to see its eyes.
Yeah.
I want to look at it.
You think like a sausage should have like a list of different bits of scrotum and butthole and all the things that are really in it?
No, you wouldn't have a sausage that's scrotum and butthole in it. You just have it with good pork or beef.
I feel like you're living quite a charmed life in terms of where you can get your meat from, Tony, and that's a great thing. But I don't know if you've ever heard of a brand called Richmond. It's that's sawdust and like under ear skin.
I think the problem is meat's too cheap. Right?
Yeah.
Because we eat too much of it. I eat it 3 times a day, I love it. I'm there, I'm trying to cut it down, but...
Got it.
It's there, have it. But the thing is, and you need to use all of it, like, the thing is, offal's out of fashion.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why we should get stuck in.
Somebody's made a noise, don't know if it was voluntary, could have been repulsion, could have been lust.
Yeah.
It was like a... Everything could have been going either way. Big, was that from an offal fan or an offal hater?
That's offal.
No, it could have just been a sneeze. Turns out it's just a sneeze, just a bloody aircon. Welcome to the fringe.
Chewing on a bit of liver.
Well, it's very good for you as well, often, isn't it? The most use of a whole animal I've ever experienced, I was in Mongolia, and we had to eat lots of very old goats and sheep, and it wasn't nice at all. It's very grey and chewy and horrific, but it was protein, and obviously they're using everything, and they play a game called Knuckles, where they take... even the tiny bones, which you wouldn't be able to use for making tools or whatever, and clean them down and polish them. And it was a very addictive game where you roll them, and depending on what side they land on, they look like a different animal. So you either land like a ram, a horse, and then I can't remember what the two on the tool sides were called, but you get pairs and then you collect up the pairs, and the trick was to get rid of them as quickly as possible. And we played with these old ladies in there, these yurts that they lived in, and they were badass at this game. They'd be like, vroom, bing, 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 like just clocking them all everywhere, and we were like, got really competitive. We spent a whole Christmas playing with sheep's knuckles, and I smuggled some home. I've got a silken bag of sheep's tiny bones.
Do you read the fortune with them as well?
No, I draw them. Actually, I've not got them out for a long time, because I've got a 3-year-old and I don't want him eating them or breaking them yet. Okay, so we're all here at the Fringe. What's fringe eating for you like generally? Scott, I feel like we've got the idea that you're maybe a late-night pizza guy.
Late night. I generally don't eat much in the day. I don't want to eat before my show.
At all? What time's your show?
9:30. I'll eat like a light snack, like just a wrap or something.
Yeah.
And then the show, and then beer, and then a pizza.
What a life. What a life.
Yeah.
How old are you?
27. I can handle it.
Fine.
I can handle
it. Yeah, you can take it. Let's talk in a decade, mate. Lisa?
So what I love is when... am I louder than everyone? Is it just me?
It's not because you're American. It's the mic.
Okay.
slight imbalance on the mic.
Well, my agent was in town, so she took me to Castle Terrace. So that's good. A Michelin star. And I'm waiting for the next one to come and take me out. But I've mostly been eating crepes, hot dogs, cheesy toast, like from the stands.
Yep.
And then while I'm at home, I try to, eat boiled eggs or whatever. Cottage cheese, healthy, some apples.
What's some cheesy toast that you said there? Is that like grilled cheese sandwich? Basically?
Yeah, but isn't like that what you guys call it, toasties here?
Yeah, toasties.
Cheese toasty.
I learned that from Love Island from season 2.
from Love Island season 2.
From Malin.
But you called it cheesy toast, and I thought maybe that was something
there was some additional thing to a grilled
cheese sandwich. No, not at all.
But they have one at the stand, the cheesy toast stand, that... it's called the New York, but it's just a Reuben, and I love a Reuben.
Tell me what a Reuben is. I don't know.
A Reuben is rye bread, corned beef, sauerkraut, and Swiss cheese, and Thousand Island dressing, or like Russian dressing. And it's one of the best sandwiches around.
I'm not going to lie. When we say cheese toasty over here, we're not thinking anything fucking like that.
I know.
We're thinking some slightly cheesy yellow oblongs melted within two
pieces. I've had that too. But that's what they're selling, so I didn't make it up.
I believe you. Yeah. I'm jealous.
They also had one, and it was mac and cheese toasty, and it was disgusting. Do not have it. It's not enough adhesive.
They are and big into gross. Carbs in carbs here. That's yeah. something that's, Tony, that's a pretty double Scottish carb. Thing, right? Double carb. Macaroni, cheese in a pie.
Yep.
And in bread. In I don't, bread. Yeah. I mean, how would you
or
feel about that?
Salad, bowl of chips. Fantastic.
What oh, a chip butty. That's a universal joy.
I also went
it?
To Checkpoint and I had a really good like vegan squash risotto and it was really delicious.
Ooh.
Yeah. With some honey truffle.
What is Checkpoint? A fancy restaurant?
No, it's right by my venue, right by the Bristow Square.
It sounds like somewhere you go if you're a child and you're lost.
Mm. Oh yeah. No, you know what I have noticed here though, and it's good because everyone gets paid a living wage, but the service is so slow and it's really helped me work on my rage. And patience. Yeah.
Also, you're culturally trained to tip very well.
Yes.
Whereas we have no qualms if the service is shit, just not leaving one.
Yeah, no, I've been working a lot on myself and patience.
And that helps
for sure.
With the rage.
There's no one knows what an iced coffee is here. I've gotten frappuccinos, latte. I mean, they just make it up and it's like, no, it's a real thing. But yeah, all I want is a fucking cold brew and everyone just keeps making whatever they want for me. So yeah, I can complain, you know, too. I have problems and I've been buying a lot of, smoked salmon.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Scottish smoked salmon.
Yeah.
Because it says Scottish.
Yeah.
And it feels Scottish.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony, you have restaurants, don't you? And do they change? Does that the way your work changed during the Fringe? Are you much busier?
Work's changed. We sold the restaurants in 2014.
Right, okay.
But yeah,
great
during the festival was a second Christmas.
Okay.
But we changed because the way it's changing now, the council and the wisdom give out so many permits to all these street vendors, which, yeah, it's good, but you've got people here all year paying the rates and that. That's why the guys live under the pizza hole in the hole because they have to. Because during the festival, you've got all these people coming in, but further out from the centre.
Oh, right. That's why they're working all through the night.
Yeah.
Just to compete with the street vendors.
That's it. So that's
the thing. God, that's really interesting.
And if you're further down, if you're out in the centre of town, the local neighbourhood restaurants don't really get a washback from.
Right, like in, out and like down far, Leith, further down Leith Walk.
Yeah,
and
so there's some cracking places. Just
my friend, who I'm sharing an apartment here with, her boyfriend's a chef and he's coming to visit for 4 days. And they're doing a wild thing. He found some fish shack. So at 4 a.m, they got a car and they're going to go 4 hours to this fish shack that has thousands of 5-star reviews. And then they're going to take a 4-hour car back to make it to her show on time. But that's like romantic and cute. Yeah.
That is, awesome.
Do you know
what it is?
Which one?
I have no idea.
There's a few.
Tony's
there's a few 4-hour away shacks.
Yeah. There's ones further. There's probably gone up the East Coast, up beside East Nuke, everything like that, or up West Coast.
I have no idea. I was not invited. So I don't know. They need some alone time.
Have you eaten anything particularly Scottish while you've been here, Lisa?
I had haggis ravioli, so half and half.
Nice.
Real nice.
Yeah, and it was really, really good. But that's it. I don't think anything else too Scottish.
Smoked salmon.
Yeah. Smoked salmon.
Yeah, the beef.
Have you had any haggis yet, Skulk?
I refuse.
Why?
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
Too much like meat. Meat that's too much like a dead animal.
Meaty. Yeah,
it's, if you don't like meat, don't.
It's meaty meat. I mean, even for meat eater, I have boundaries.
Yeah.
I just...
But do you like things like bunny chow and stuff?
Yeah, that's nice.
Right, yeah, you love haggis.
Well, they don't call it haggis. If you're going to give me haggis, just disguise it as like...
Yeah.
Just call it something else. I think it's the name. It just sounds gross. Haggis.
Whoa. Just a very bold statement to make in this country.
It just sounds like haggis. Haggis. It feels like the sound you're going to make later on. Haggis. In the toilet. Haggis.
If your bum makes that noise afterwards, you need to stand up just for that.
And also a black pudding. Is that, what was that? Blood?
Yeah, blood.
Mm. This is blood?
Yeah, fuck that. Step too far.
Yeah, I'm not
yeah exactly. Yeah, haggis, black pudding, same category for me.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Lisa, your Twitter handle is glitter cheese, which I'd really like to have explained. Also, your Twitter bio says, it says nothing else.
Yeah.
It just says, I like knowing what people eat, which makes me feel like potentially we're soulmates. I want to know what glitter cheese means and also what's the best thing you've ever found out that someone else is eating.
Oh, interesting. So basically, I didn't think Twitter was going to be a real thing, you know? So I was just sitting and my friend was like, yeah, you need to have a Twitter. And I just really enjoy glitter and cheese and they're my favorite things. And now it's become kind of an alter ego and I love it. And I have like a gold plate necklace and everything that says it, but it means nothing. I just love those things.
Perfect.
I just want to know what people eat. I don't know if I have a specific one, but if you go to a restaurant, I want to know what you order. And then I hate when someone sees a celebrity at a restaurant and I'm like, what did they order? And they don't tell me. It's like, what is wrong with you? If you see a celeb, I want to know what they're eating, if they're on a diet. Someone saw Anne Hathaway at a restaurant and they said that she ordered a Belgian waffle, had one square of it and went the Catwoman suit and then didn't eat anymore. Those are the facts I need to know.
What a terrible life.
But she was Catwoman. It happens. So I want to know what celebs are
eating. Can you imagine? I want there to be a world one day where Catwoman looks like a woman who eats. That's what we should be aiming for rather than being like, oh, well done, Anne. I'm managing just your one bite of your fucking waffle. What a fucking waste of waffle. There's people fucking starving in the world and Anne Hathaway's 99% of waffle is my problem.
But we are going to have a gay Batgirl, so that's exciting.
Yeah, okay. Well, if they won't let them have real-sized women, at least they can be queer. Thank you. Small steps, baby steps. We'll get there. And also, what was the most interesting? If has anyone ever read your bio and then just tweeted you something they've just eaten? Or does that happen?
No, I wish.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Yeah, please. But yeah, if you're going to a fun
restaurant.
It'll make
your timeline quite busy.
I want to know what you ordered or it's not really interesting to me.
I completely agree. Do you know, you've reminded me of a friend said that they went to, this story is via someone else with the same agent a long time ago, but Simon Pegg was in the Ivy once and Margaret Thatcher, this is how long ago it is, she's been dead for a while, was eating nearby. And not because he was any kind of fan of hers, but because it's Margaret Thatcher. When she'd finished, he stole her napkin that she'd been using to wipe her mouth and kept it forever as a souvenir. I don't know if that's true, but it's the sort of story that you hear and think, I hope that's true.
It's a bit dark. What did you use it for?
Yeah, exactly. Putting it over your head and pretending to be a ghost of terrifying capitalism of past, but again, present now.
I have some high class food items in my life. I have chocolates from the Obama administration. So I have President Obama little box of chocolates that I stole from a bad roommate. And so I have them. And I also, my favorite comic, Dave Attell, gave me like Hanukkah Gill chocolate coins once. And I've kept those for forever.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's a bit lovely.
Yeah.
Tony, a local star chef and restaurateur, you're a Scottish Sikh from Leith. Talk to me about your experience, please, of like growing up, maybe eating. Let's talk about Leith and the changes that have happened there in terms of eating and what you've got access to there. Just from the years I've been doing The Fringe, I've watched Leith change dramatically.
So you've seen Leith, it's been gentrified.
Yeah.
They call it a bit edgy now. It's still full of crazy folk. It's good.
Good.
But no, Leith, people from Leith, it's like saying you've got people from New York or they say they're from Brooklyn or Bronx, they've got their own wee area, yeah? So people from Edinburgh, people from Leith are from Leith. And the food's always been great because it's always a mix and pop. The immigrants always went there. But one of the strangest and most poignant things is when you're growing up, kids would come around the house, immigrant family, mum, cook, feed everybody. Everybody, you get fed. Kids love to come around. We went around to other people's houses and it's an Edinburgh thing. They'd say, you've had your tea. Not fucking really, I'm hungry. But sit in another room. And that was it. You wouldn't get anything.
Wow.
Yeah, so the other thing was like in the stairs, now people talk about that fantastic aroma. Back then was what that fucking smell. What's that smell?
Right. Yeah, really? Yeah, so, but that's a very positive change in sentiment.
It's positive. And obviously, the restaurant culture down there now in Leith, we've got 2 1-star restaurants down there.
Wow.
Cracking new neighbourhood places. It's brilliant.
What are they called? Should we give them two?
You've got Tom Kitchen, Martin Wishart's, you've got Burra, you've got the little chart room, you've got burritos, so many. There's just fantastic places.
Bring it. All right, lovely. And you grew up there.
Yep.
God, that's so interesting. I really like that idea that used to be everyone's like, the aromas, and they used to be like, what's that smell?
Yum in my tum.
Scott, talk to me about growing up eating in South Africa.
Lots of...
And I've been saying meat a lot. lots of meat. Meat is like, especially in Afrikaans culture, a big social thing is what we call braai. That is a barbecue.
Yeah, massive barbecue. Yeah. I heard we had another, Pierre Novelli once was a guest on here, and he was saying that there's some pretty old school sexism at a braai, where all the men stand together and the women stand somewhere separate. Is that still going on?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I would say probably less, but yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And that's also where your racist uncle will always tell the racist jokes and everyone feel uncomfortable and go inside, you know. so, yeah, and a braai, it's a very South African thing. It's always you, like when it's World Cup, you know, all the adverts are braai adverts of just every single South African around the braai, smiling, drinking a beer, you know. It's like a very unifying thing. So lots of that. I'm very picky with food. There's lots of stuff I don't like. So when my mom found something that I liked, she would just make that for me every day. So lots of foods have been ruined for me because I just had it every single day. I love peanut butter and syrup sandwiches. I had peanut butter and syrup sandwiches in my lunchbox for 5 years straight.
Oh, what now syrup? I can't, is that like maple syrup or like honey?
Yeah, maple syrup. Right, yeah. Now I can't smell peanut butter and maple syrup.
Yeah, fair enough. Don't eat this peanut butter bomb. Yeah.
It's like when you, it's like, you know, when you get, when you like underage drinking, you get sick from vodka and then you can't drink vodka again because it takes you back.
I've found if you really persevere, you can get over those.
I like OD'd. I almost OD'd on peanut butter from my sandwiches every day.
Lovely. All right, fair enough. As any of the rest of you, I think that's a really interesting thing, and it turns out lots of people have, I've found from my experience, but have you ever had a point in your life where you ate the same thing every day for a bit, Lisa and Tony?
No.
Never, really? Always had variety in it?
Always, yeah. Being a chef.
I guess being a chef, and I feel very drawn to that lifestyle, but I still had a year, my first year at university, I was in catered halls, and the food was so shit that I had a jacket potato with something different in it every day, but I had a jacket potato for dinner every single day.
I couldn't, I'd kill myself. It's just,
would you?
Yeah, definitely.
What's a very jacket potato? Reaction.
Baked potato.
Baked potato.
Oh.
Yeah, with different stuff in it, but like everything else that I worked in the kitchens and I wasn't going to, and I am not fussy. Like, yeah. I will eat, not fussy. Yeah. But I wasn't going to eat in there anything other than the jacket potatoes. Lisa, ever eaten the same thing every day for a bit?
No.
No? Good for you guys.
I like stuff, yeah.
I feel like the question is kind of an underhand way of saying, ever been in prison?
The most variety I have at the moment is sometimes I'll get a small pepperoni pizza at 4 in the morning, sometimes I'll get a large pepperoni pizza at 4 in the morning.
I haven't been to prison, sorry, but I've been arrested a few times.
Yes, and me too.
And I did spend one night, I've spent a few nights in jail, but one night I did have a cheeseburger, and I don't know if it's because I was hungry, but it was so good, and I still remember...
In jail, you had in prison, you had a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And it was good.
We were all in the drunk tank, yeah, and we
all started
having
burgers. Tell me about the burger you ate in prison, please.
Maybe I was still wasted, but I was like, fuck. Because I also, this is bad. Obviously, no one drink and drive. This was over a decade ago, but I was drunk and I went
Don't
to
worry,
go
mate,
get
I'm from
Burger
the West
King.
Country.
Yeah. but I went to go get Burger King and I got pulled over. And so then when I got the cheeseburger in jail, it kind of felt like I got what I really wanted. But. But yeah, I just remember liking it. It was, you know, it's been
was
a long time.
Was it basic?
Time.
Was it like burger,
yeah,
cheese?
Yeah, it's, you know what? It reminded me of high school lunch, like the lunches I would get at school. So maybe a little nostalgia or something. But I remember being pleasantly surprised at the quality of jail food. And then another time I had to serve 2 days. All the, but it was minimum security, but all the girls, what we would do is.
Oh, that makes it.
This
that makes
so
it fun.
We took cookies and wrapped them in napkins, and everyone would microwave their cookies. It was really cool as a sociology person that I liked seeing the things that mattered to them. But everyone wanted to heat up their cookies, and I enjoyed that little bit of custom that they had.
What do you feel about eating takeaway food like pizza when it's cold? For example, the next day, look at your face, Gulk.
Very good.
Very good. I agree. I think most of it's
have
improved.
Have to heat it up, but microwave.
Have to heat it up in the microwave. Microwave pizza.
Yeah.
I like that too, though. I'll do it warm, I'll do it hot, and I will eat cold pizza. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, that's like all cold. The temperatures covered. Lisa. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hot, medium, cold, slightly cold, frozen, lukewarm.
I want to say about school lunches and stuff, but my family, I was born in the former Soviet Union. We're Russian.
Wow.
And so I ate a lot of Russian food, and I remember getting ridiculed a lot, and I would open my lunchbox and people would like scoot away from me. They did not like...
Because there was like a borscht in there.
Not a borscht, but like, you know, just like a pickled tomato maybe. You know, just Russian meats and rices, but people were really grossed out by me. And so by the time fifth grade came, I was like, I'm done with this. I want American lunches. And I demanded just like salami sandwiches and string cheese. Like I wanted to be American so bad.
I feel like there's been a, well, that's totally understandable because you're a kid and all kids want to do is assimilate and not stand out. And also I feel like there's been a really strong theme. I've been doing this podcast for just over a year, and anybody whose parents like really made a beautiful effort with their lunchbox was just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the person,
my mom like went and bought, you know, the tiny chocolates in bulk. So she'd go, there's a store in South Africa with like mass like production where you buy bulk for cheap.
Yeah.
She'd go buy.
We have those here, like Macro.
Yeah, she'd go.
Like
yeah, Macro. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, it's a Macro. Yeah, nice. So it's sweet that you guys have some nice stuff.
Your idea of nice stuff is so funny.
So yeah, she would go once a year and she would just fill the cupboard with, so I'd have like my sandwiches, then a little chocolate, a little juice box. I think she was just actually cheap and didn't want to give me money for the tuck shop.
Yeah.
And then when I was in grade 10, she bought the tuck shop.
And she then, started working in your school tuck
and
shop.
And then my mother was the tuck lady.
Oh.
And I didn't tell anyone. I was like, you keep it a secret. Because my dad was already at the school. My dad was the vice principal.
Oh, God. That's so,
then both
wow.
my parents were at the school. I said to my mom, and you know what she went from? She was the head of national intelligence in South Africa. Head of national intelligence, a spy. My mom was literally... managing spies, and she was a spy herself when she went from a spy.
I think she
to
might still be a spy.
Managing. that was my theory. I thought there was a Coca-Cola can that she would like pull down, and then the fridge would go down, and then there would be like a classic spy headquarters down there that she would operate from. So then my mom was the tuck shop lady, and I swore her to secrecy. I was like, you know what it's like to keep a secret. You're a spy. You don't tell anyone you're my mother. It's the most embarrassing thing that your mother works in the tuck shop. And then obviously like a month in, I realized, oh, I can walk up to the counter and basically grab anything I wanted, chocolate or whatever, and leave. And then I was like, my mom's a tuck shop lady! Woo!
Yeah, you found your pride in it. I feel like before, what do we think of this food that's in front of us? What have we tried? What do you make of it? Have you tried any stuff you guys
I like
you
this
think?
A lot.
Yeah, what's that? Like a cherry? What do you
it
think
looks like a cobbler.
Cherry, Bren,
I'll try it.
Oh, it's so good.
A fruity cobbler thing?
Tony, what do you think of this peanut
truffle,
butter
lovely.
Truffle bomb?
Yeah, very
what
nice.
A clever thing. Clever. We were both blown away by it. It came
all right,
like this
we'll
like
pass hard, it over.
Hard chocolate ball with gold on it. It's
oh
so
my
pretty.
God.
And we were like, what is that? And Tony, very good guess, thank was going to be cookie dough, but it turns out it's peanut butter, but it's so light. Mm-hmm. It's like, it looks like it's going to make you like, oh God, it's going to be a bit of an effort. And it's not at all. This carrot cake is really good. I'm going in for that
I
again.
I am so Oopsie. Happy that the... vegans are killing it at the moment.
They are killing it at the
food.
Old cakes.
My friend is a hardcore vegan and always would go for dinner. And I feel so sorry for her because normally there's little to no options.
Yeah.
On the
in
menu.
South Africa?
Yeah.
Right.
And she would just end up getting chips, just plain fries with some salt on it because that was pretty much the only thing that she could eat on the menu. And now just all over the place, just amazing vegan places.
Yeah, that's happening in South Africa as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and Beyond Meat, I'm sure everyone knows.
The Beyond, fake meat people.
Yeah. She was very upset the other day because now there's a company in America that made a carrot out of meat. just to piss off the vegans.
Of course they did.
And they call it the Marrot. And it's a sausage. It's a sausage that they roll up in like a skin and then they they make it orange, and they even put a, like a little green.
But have they
green.
Made it taste as close to a carrot taste as possible? I mean,
No. It's purely out of spite. Fuck you, vegans, trying to make plants taste like meat. We're going to make a plant out of meat.
Oh, well, I wish those guys good luck with the being anywhere for their grandkids to live. What about the stuff with these? So there's these massive, I need to describe it, enormous cookies. They're quite soft
it's
cookies.
Like a sandwich,
and inside, I've already had a massive bit of both, thank you. And inside is marshmallow. That is mind-blowing. Have you tried
so
that,
good.
Lisa?
That's lovely. I can't
you can't do it. What did you think
Maybe
of the bomb later. Thing with the peanut butter?
The bomb, I like this cobbler the most.
That cherry cobbler. And has anyone tried that cheesecake?
Oh, yeah, I have.
Talk to me about it.
It shouldn't be vegan. Yeah, I think
you can taste it. It's vegan or it's
Yeah,
amazing.
I think a cheesecake needs some real cheese.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm a bitch, but
I'll taste it.
I have a good time. Cheesecake is one of my fave desserts.
Oh, okay.
That
so you
didn't
have,
do it for me.
I think it's really hard.
Sorry, Mimi.
To fake. I mean, she's called Miss. Yeah. She's called Miss.
Jesus, cheese. That's why you have it. You know what I mean? It needs cheese.
Yeah. Everything
needs
else
cheese.
Has been like off the charts, though,
yeah.
hasn't
yeah.
it? And
well, don't
I
put
don't
your bitten
that.
One back in
yeah,
the box.
Yeah, sorry.
Jesus Christ. delicious.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tony, you've done lots of cooking on telly and stuff like Saturday Kitchen and Ready Steady Cook. Mm-hmm. Has it ever gone really wrong? and have you ever had to eat stuff on telly that was memorable in any way, perhaps because it was good or bad?
It's never went wrong because I'm a professional.
I assume you have to eat lots of quite cold stuff.
No, because at the end of the day, Saturday Kitchen's live and I'd rather do live shows. Ready Steady Cook, the cooking was live. And it was like a 5-minute lapse in time, whatever it was. I think it's technical, but it was live. And it's hot, memorable. It's the stuff that you make yourself. So one of the things that the other chef made, it was a Szechuan pork belly. Stunning. Mm. It was phenomenal. Melted in your mouth. Crispy scar. It was just really good.
I have a friend who's half Singaporean and she makes a pork belly thing. I've not eaten it for a long time. So I don't eat meat at the moment, really, apart from very rare occasions. But she makes it with a Szechuan rub on top of it with lots of pink peppercorns and stuff. And this is quite bad. We call it burnt baby. Oh. That's what it looks like when it's finished.
Oh, I thought it tasted like a burnt
so
baby.
No. I don't know. I haven't tried one. But
nice.
maybe that is what one... If that is, bad luck babies have come the apocalypse because it's really yum in my tum. cool, yeah. I was interrupted your story
the host that I am.
Pork's
cracking. But yeah, what you got when it's live, it's good fun.
Great.
Recording's quite hard,
yeah. Did you say? I feel like it takes an extraordinary amount of multitasking. If you're being charming, reading an auto cue, cooking a thing, and then eating it and tasting it all as it... How do you make it all work all at once?
But that's when it's when auto cue and all that, that's when it's recorded. When it's live, you're just... being yourself, which is much easier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Life's easier.
Yeah, much easier.
God, you're such a thrilling adrenaline junkie at the moment, Tony.
Do you get competitive with other chefs? Like when you taste that pork belly, are you like, fuck, that's so good. I need to be better than him. Or do you guys like each other? Like,
are you comparing it to comedians maybe slightly?
No,
I'm
not really competitive in the States, but here they really try to force you to be competitive.
Oh, I mean,
it's really weird.
Especially as an American thing, being competitive.
Not in comedy for me. I feel like there's work for everyone. We're all different. Let's have fun. I love to see people make money. It's so hard to do it. So when people make money, I'm like, hell yeah. There's a few people I hate, of course, but usually I'm like, fun. I like my friends succeeding and there's enough room for everyone. But here it's like, it does seem it's really hard to keep your eyes on your own paper at this festival. Yeah. They're just like throwing stars around, sold out in this. And you're like, what's going, it's a weird energy construct.
We've a kind of shitty bubble we've built for ourselves. It's got nothing to do with eating, but where we've build up this idea that it's competition.
Yeah.
And it's not, I think that's not good for anybody's mental health, and it's not good for anybody's creativity.
The star thing has been fucking me up.
Yeah, it fucks
emotionally,
everyone up.
Like,
yeah.
And I came in cocky being like, ugh, I'm so like self-aware and chill. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what the fuck? You know?
Said what about me? Top tip, don't read anything.
I have, yeah.
Go for 80 beers one night in September with yourself or perhaps only one close friend and just endure the lot of it then.
And it seems like people want to be rude here. My friend got a fucking brutal one where I was like, did you have, like, just... like so intentionally rude and mean, and it's like we're all just trying our best, you fucking dorks. Yeah, but that's,
like TripAdvisor, like chefs.
Oh,
I said,
God,
keep away
yeah.
from TripAdvisor, because when it first came out, we had a couple of restaurants, and I was getting like, fuck, I'm going to reply to them, call them out for a kicking. And yeah. No. Get away. Well, that's it. You know what I mean? The keyboard warriors, they've went for dinner. They've went with their partner, they've spent money. They've went home. They've no had their promise. Fucking bastard, your food was shite. They're sitting up there. I hate you. It was terrible. I didn't get off with my partner. Blah, 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 blah. And that's it. There's always a problem with them. You can't please everybody.
There's a new internet meme that I saw, and it was someone on Yelp reviewing. They went on vacation to a plantation, which is where slaves worked. And their review was that they were annoyed at how much they talked about slavery and that they were there for a good time.
Where are they going for their honeymoon outfit? Yeah.
So are chefs competitive or what? Or no?
It's a contact sport. Fucking yeah.
Okay.
Super competitive. Especially TV chefs. Like, it's a celebrity thing here. So, okay, I'm going to ask something else. What's the weirdest thing you ever ate, please? What's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
Oh, fuck.
I swallowed my pride once. It was pretty weird.
Was it delicious or tangy?
No, it tasted like... You know when me just really tastes like me?
Oh, God.
Tasted like Tesco chicken.
Yeah. With a haggis crumb.
Yeah, don't know.
Lisa, what's the weirdest thing you ever ate?
Well, it's probably not weird. I had like a frog leg and I didn't really enjoy that. And I guess I didn't like
what
shark.
What is that about? I think I ate one like as a kid. It's just a little bit of bone.
Bony,
right?
And gross. But I really love like squid ink pastas and stuff and squid ink. But I don't know if that's weird.
I think the first time you try it, it's quite weird because it does taste a bit like ink, right?
Yeah, I love it. One time, so I went out to eat with my friend. I got chicken liver mousse, and no one wanted any of it, and I ate it. And then the next time I saw her, she's like, "You have black stuff in your mouth." I was like, "Ugh, I just had squid ink." And she's like, "What is wrong with you? Like, what are you eating every day?" But
you're living your best life.
I want to try stuff, and especially if I go to a fancy place, I'll like try what they're known for and experience stuff.
Where did you have shark?
My dad just bought a fillet.
A shark.
Yeah.
Okay. A shark fillet.
Yeah.
Does that just mean like a steak of shark?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It was just too hard. Swordfish, I don't like either. It's just too tough.
I love swordfish.
No, not for me.
It really made me laugh. So I have a kid, and when I was pregnant, the rules on this are always changing, but it was like, you can't have over this much coffee every day. You can't have raw fish. You can't have, and it was like, so you can't have sushi, no alcohol. And it's just sort of like, oh no, not allowed any shellfish. Oh no, not allowed any like undercooked, perfect meat. Oh, no, or swordfish. And I was like, that's the only one I can manage with. I can do nine. I think most people can manage 9 months without any fucking swordfish. It's such a precise thing to go through.
Being pregnant looks, seems like a nightmare. Tough.
Actually heaving the baby out much harder than the born pregnant. 5 second rule, yes or no? As in, what's the grottiest thing you've ever eaten past the point you should probably morally have eaten it, dirt-wise? And Skulk, I understand there will be nothing that you've eaten that wasn't perfect.
I believe in the 5 second rule. I think it's fine. I think it strengthens your immune system. It's important to let kids eat. Let me finish. It's important to let kids eat weird stuff. Like, I did not eat by choice. I was in ICU when I was about 4 or 5. I almost died because a kid at school played a prank on me. And he said, close your eyes and open your mouth. By the way, if anyone ever says this to you, never do it. He says, I'm going to put a sweetie in your mouth. And I did it trusting 5-year-old Skulk, just trusting everyone. And he put an old dog poo that he found on the grass. An old dog poo in my mouth. And you know when a dog poo goes like gray in the sun, like it's like, it's flaky. And I'm sorry. So he put it in my mouth and I immediately spat it out. And I carried on building my sandcastle. Like it was just like, I was like, ew. And then I carried on with my day.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell my mother anything. I just forgot about it. And then 2 weeks later, I got so sick. A fever and everything. My mother took me to the hospital and the doctor ran tests and he's like, ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this, but your kid has a disease that you only get from eating animal feces. And my mom had to sit me down. She was like, Skulky, are you eating dog shit? Like, what? And then I was like, oh yeah, a kid at school put dog poo in my mouth. And then she's like, and then the doctor was like, yeah, that's definitely it then. Oh. And I was in ICU, but now that I'm like, stronger, yeah, I'm stronger for it.
So you had to like get blood transfusions and stuff, did you? That's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Obviously, he didn't die.
Where's this kid now?
I hope he's not like a millionaire. That would be depressing if he was like a bully and he's now successful. I hope karma did its work on him.
I feel like you answered the 5 second rule and the weirdest thing you ever ate question.
I didn't eat it. I did spit it out, but I think my immune system just like was like
rock
like
solid.
Like Hulk after that, like nothing.
I always thought that with my kid though. He's nearly 4 and he's always eating shit off the beach, off the floor, whatever. Like if he drops it before I can get to it, off the footwell of the car, like I can't get there in time to stop him. And I talk about it a lot on this podcast about how he's never real, blah, blah, blah. And then recently he licked some ketchup that he dropped off an outdoor table that a seagull had just been stood on. So, I mean, it's a table that's permanently outside, so it's constantly going to be covered in bird shit. And I couldn't stop him. He was on the table, like licking like the ketchup like a dog. And he can talk, you know. He's not stupid. And I was like, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. Only makes him stronger. Next week, got worms.
Oh.
Any more cake, anyone? 5 second rule, Lisa.
Yeah, I'll eat it.
Yeah. Tony?
Yeah, oh, yeah, but not for guests.
Oh, not for guests. Not You're not going to feed not. Guests like a hair covered.
No, but I cover. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Is there anything that you eat in a particularly ritualistic way? So here, for example, in the UK, we have a thing where there's a confectionery called a Cadbury's cream egg. I don't know if you have that. It's like a chocolate egg with fondant inside. And it's like a thing that everybody has a different way of eating it. We have a chocolate, but mainly it's chocolate, but like Kit Kat. Like, is there anything that you eat in a particularly specific way? It doesn't have to be chocolate. I want to know the story of it.
You know, corn.
Yeah.
Yes, we've heard of corn.
You know, you're from a different country, and then he comes out, and then you like awesome. You know, corn. Yeah. You have to eat it from left to right, like a typewriter. I can't handle people who eat one side the whole thing, like. You are a maniac. You are a serial killer. If you eat.
You're biting off a handle.
Hey.
if you don't bite a mouth's way all around one side, then you've got a lovely handle.
Yeah. No, you have to have the
two. And then you can
fingers.
Get a bit more butter dunk in it.
Yeah. I'm with the handle.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I left to right typewriter.
Left to right
style.
Like a typewriter. Yeah. Okay, good to know. Excellent. Lisa, thought of one?
I can't, no.
No, that's
I
fine.
Just
Tony?
Eat...
No.
Sorry?
I just think I eat things. I don't know.
Yeah.
They just don't put that much thought into it, and that's absolutely fair enough.
But I only was introduced to Cadbury mini eggs in the past 2 years, and it really took over my life 1 year. My friend came back with a big bag, and this was a destructive point in my life, but we just smoked weed all night long and eating mini eggs till 6 a.m. till the diner opened, and then we would order diner food, and then we'd eat, and then we'd all pass out, and then wake up at 3 p.m. and just start smoking and eating Cadbury mini eggs again.
There's something extraordinary about them. They don't taste like anything else, do they?
Yes.
There's almost like, they're not too rich. There's almost like it doesn't sound like a compliment, but a kind of dustiness to them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and it takes so long to suck through the shell that when
I just
get inside, it's like, oh, it's so good. You try sucking one. Maybe like smash through like five so that you then have the patience about you to suck one, and it's something else.
Now I thought, this isn't so much a ritual, but I am someone who cannot lick, I bite. Like a lollipop, a hard candy, like I'll just start cracking it and people are pretty grossed out, but I can't lick it for too long. I want a crunch.
Grow up. Yeah, my kid's dad is a lot kind of a more sensible parent than me. So he's really trained our kid. If he has a lolly, like a hard boiled sweet on a stick kind of lolly, that he has to like suck it for a bit so it's small enough. And he basically will be like... Is it small enough to chomp? No. Small enough? Small enough? It's the equivalent of an are we there yet? From him. If there was literally no other options, would you eat a person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes.
Wow.
That's so wild. Yes, 2 days ago I was at lunch with friends and we were discussing which one of us we would eat first. I think it's like the world's ending in 30 years. We all have to really start thinking about this in a real way.
Yeah. And who got picked as the most delicious or the easiest to kill?
The most annoying one. I thought it would be me because I'm chunky, but no, the annoying person lost. They want me there for my attitude. End of the world. They need someone to fight.
I love it. Were you going
to
say something?
I have to go after vegans because I've got a great diet.
Fine. I am going to ask you one big last end question, but first of all, I would love it if you would tell us what's going on work-wise for you at the moment. I assume you guys want to talk about your fringe shows. Tony, so plug whatever it is you want to plug. Go for it. To the people in the room, but also it'll go out in the podcast, so... Yeah.
So today is my only day off. So the rest of the Fringe, I'm at 10:35 p.m. every night at the Underbelly Buttercup. My show's called In the Weeds. And just stand up, fun, bits, dirty. It's dirty. Don't bring your kids or nephews. Or bring them, but I'm not going to not do my gangbang jokes. So if you want your kid opened up to jizz, come on down.
Delightfully put.
Yeah.
That is worse than eating dog shit, I think. Exposing your kids to jizz. My show is called South African White Boy. Every night, 9:30 at Pleasance Courtyard. Damn it, I don't think I'll... Yeah. Be able to see your show, and I don't have a day off. But anyway, it's also just straight stand-up, some fun stories. I think you can bring a kid to mine. There's swearing, and it's not too dirty. Definitely bring babies, because we'll have a braai afterwards. I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Lovely.
I came from far, so please come watch.
Yeah, I do. Can't wait to see it.
I do a supper club Friday and a Saturday. If there's a space, come along. It's good fun.
Amazing. I'll put links to all of these amazing guests' social medias and websites and stuff in the podcast notes. A giant man made of wasps has said he's going to sting all of Edinburgh to bits and ruin August for everyone. But the wasp bastard has agreed not to do it, but only if you three, and weirdly it does have to be you three, complete the tower from the end of the Netflix series Strong, but all whilst wearing Chris Packham on your back like a fleshy rucksack. And all the while you're doing it, it's in the rain. This is a lot of physical activity, basically. Yeah. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero! Your reward is the adulation of all of the world for saving Edinburgh and saving the Fringe from the wasp bastard, and your actual reward for in the moment you've exerted yourself, you're allowed a shower or whatever you need to feel human again, but you have like that post-exercise really hungry. Your actual reward is the feast of your dreams, by which I mean none of it has to be real or achievable. I don't want it to be ethical or healthy or anything like that. I just want to know, in an ideal situation, what would you eat, drink, and who would be there, and if there was a where. Where would you have this feast of your dreams? None of these people have to exist. None of this food has to be possible, whatever. It's the stuff of absolute ultimate best. It's a happy version of your last meal.
Why would your last meal be sad?
Because I don't think most people are immediately ready to die.
Oh.
Yeah. They're usually on death row, yeah. Go first. I keep going first. I have to think.
Okay. With my granddad, never met him.
Oh,
so that'd be nice. He'd be there. What a drink. That's a hard one. Oh, what's some nice wines. Oh, that is a hard one.
Something more complicated than Iron Brew, then, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. Eat. Oh, freshly dug out white truffle, shaved over foie gras.
Oh,
fried egg. A brown sauce jus. HP jus. Do you know HP?
Ugh.
My mate makes a sauce out of it. It's fucking phenomenal. That, on top of that, and then I would say...
The problem with asking a chef this question is I've got a semi on, really.
Oh. Yeah.
And because it's foie gras and truffle, I'd say a Chateau de Chem. Okay. The first one after the first... No, the last vintage before World War II.
Oh. Very lovely answer. Round of applause for that answer, please. You guys ready?
I think I'll also, when you say vintage, do you mean red wine?
No, it's just the
just means you know what year it came from.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's made.
Cool. Yeah, mine, I love red wine. I love red wine. Pinotage is my favorite kind of red wine, which is only a grape that you get in South Africa. I didn't know this. I went to Italy and I was like, can I have a glass of Pinotage? They were like, what is that? I was like, you guys are Italian. How do you not know Pinotage? And it just looked like such an idiot. But the oldest red wine I can find, like I'm talking, oh, it doesn't have to be real. So I'm talking like Bible times red wine.
Oh, nice.
Right. Last Supper, the red wine that was at the Last Supper.
Ooh.
And on a braai, I want the kid who put dog shit in my mouth.
Yeah.
When I was five.
Yeah.
And almost killed me.
Yeah. Fine. Lisa?
This is tough. I would want to celebrate with all my friends and family. And if we're bringing people from the dead, I never met any of my grandparents, so I'm going to steal Tony's answer. Let's dig them up and get them to dinner. And then let's, you know, the Aquaman, Jason Momoa, can come. I'll sit on him while I eat. And then while my parents and grandparents watch. And I think for food, I would just want all my favorite things from all the restaurants. I would want a seafood tower. I want just like lobster. I'm sad to make my mom cook, but I'd like some of her foods there, some mashed potatoes. And anything with like pasta, cheese. I want bread, cheese, fat. Like that's what I want.
Lovely.
Yeah, pastas. Fit. And then I would drink mojitos, espresso martinis, Manhattans, you know, get wasted. I just save the world.
Yeah. Okay,
I would want a big joint as well. A giant one, a 2-foot joint.
Nice. Like in the UK, we call it a Camberwell carrot. Oh. It's a film called With Nell and I. Thank you so much for coming, you lovely lot. I should say my show is also on at the Fringe. It's called Hench. It's on every day at 1:30. It's tickets from the 20th. So thank you so much for coming out to Hoovery Live.
What an absolute belter we had. Follow all my guests on social media. Tony has a website, tonysingh.com, and there you can find all the stuff about his supper clubs, the TV work he's doing, and follow him on Twitter as well. Skulk Bazood Note plugged his show. Go and see it. It's on at 9:30 in the Courtyard. Sounds amazing. He's also on Twitter as, I'm just going to spell it out, SCHALKIEBEZ. And Lisa Traeger's show sounds funny AF. She has an amazing stand-up about orgasm disparity between the genders, which I can highly recommend. And as she said, she's all over social media as Glitter Cheese. So check her out on there as well. And look her up on Netflix. She's got a blooming special out. My show, Hench, is doing all right at this fringe, I think. I've even added an extra show at 10:30 on the 21st, if you're about 10:30 in the night. It'd be delightful to have you there. And there might still be a handful of tickets left to see the show on the few weekdays at its usual time, which is at 1:30 at the Monkey Barrel as well. Hurry up and get your tickets to the Hoovering live show nearest you on tour in the autumn. Go to livenation.co.uk. Oh, I can't wait for that. Follow the podcast on social media at the Hoovering Pod. Follow me at Jessica Foster. If you want to send me a longer message or look at any live dates at all, go to my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Huge thanks to Monkey Barrel for hosting the live show. Hoovering's produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.